1400 K1 brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, and an opportunity for me to spend a little bit of time with representatives of the Lighthouse. We'll start off with the director, Errol Hayda. And Errol, thanks for coming in this morning, sir.
Good to be here. Thanks for letting us come.
And so many things that the Lighthouse does right and needs to be recognized for. And I guess we can start off with just the fact that you have recently been recognized for what goes on at the Lighthouse.
Right. We have been accredited by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's a mouthful, but it's called ECFA. It is basically the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval for nonprofits for integrity and ministry. And we have been about a two-year process going through all the things we need to get done. We had to adopt a policy about conflict of interest to make sure that we are showing integrity in all of our financial dealings and being upfront with our donors, because we really appreciate the donors giving to us. But we know when you give sacrificially to some ministry, you want to make sure that money is being used as is intended, and that's for the promotion of that ministry. So we're very careful to keep track of the money we use, and this is just one more way to guarantee that that's taking place.
And I think it's important that we look at the fact that you were open and upfront in order to apply for and show the documentation on this accreditation. It says something not only, I think, about what you have been doing, but the attitude as far as these are our books. I'm not sure the phrase that I want to use is what do you want to see, but that, you know, we're here, we want to show you what we need to show you.
We're very open about our finances, yeah. And I'm very open about our needs. I'm also very open about the way we spend it carefully.
And I think that says something to local donors, or for that matter, corporate donors across the country if they choose to give.
It will be an impact, I think, as we apply for grants also, because there's only one other ministry in Bartlesville that's accredited by ECFA, as far as I know, and that's Voice of the Martyr. So it's a pretty prestigious accreditation that we've sought.
How long did you have to go through this process? I'm sure it was more than just send in three pieces of paper.
It took us about 2 years to get the initial process taken care of. Then we'll have an annual review. We have to have audits and things like that from outside firms to maintain the integrity of the ministry.
Yeah, but again, because you're dealing with money that the public entrusts you with, that fiduciary responsibility, I think it's important that we blow a horn a little bit for you and say, hey, look over here.
I appreciate that. It's sort of awkward to tell people the good things going on, but it's obvious that God's doing great things at the Lighthouse, and I'm so appreciative of the prayers and support of the community.
Well, and I think friends of the Lighthouse already know it, but I think sometimes we omit the rest of the community, and it's important for me to hang a big arrow over here, at least for a little while, and say, if you choose to give, this is a great place to give.
I appreciate your support, Charlie. You've been very supportive of the Lighthouse over the years. Even before I became director, you were, and I appreciate your continued support.
Well, this is something that certainly, and I've heard the stories when it was originally suggested, when people like Naoma came forward and said, we wanted a homeless shelter, the prevailing attitude was, what for? We don't have a problem here.
It's sort of like I spoke at a church Sunday, and I said, sort of like Noah building the ark. What do you need an ark for? It's never rained here. So
yeah.
The same situation applied to the Lighthouse coming to Bartlesville 25 years ago.
And certainly over the course of years, I don't know the numbers, and I've only met a few of the faces, but each individual, I don't care if you only serve 10 people, those 10 people were well served.
They are, and we've had some really good meals lately. We've got many churches. We've got 14 or 15 churches now doing a meal once a month, and that makes a big assistance to our budget, but also gives the residents there a wonderful opportunity to meet people in the community as they sit down and eat with them as they serve the meal. So it's a great time for communities and churches and to get together with the Lighthouse resident, and they thoroughly enjoy it, both groups.
And I know that sometimes it's difficult to get people to understand things when we get too heavy into numbers, but statistics are about the only way to measure some of those things, and you brought along some of your measurables this morning.
I have some, but before I say that, I have heard that 85% of all statistics are made up. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know either.
I just made that up, actually.
Well, there you go. And I just heard it. So I guess I have heard that. Anyway, but these one, I'm sure because we're already talking about accountability, you have made a strong effort to make sure these are reliable numbers.
Right. We keep track of every meal we served. We have a sign-in sheet every all three meals where the residents sign in that they eat there, and also if we have guests, they sign in also. And so we have kept track of, for 2017, we fed 24,143 meals to the residents that came there, lived there, have come through. a total of 527 different individuals were served this last year in 2017. That's 527 people were served last year. We had 17 families that we served over the course of 2017. Of those people that came through there, 100 of them found employment, and there, some of them are working right now. You wouldn't have moved out of the lighthouse, you would not know they ever lived at the lighthouse because of the way they're succeeding right now. And then 10 of them had obtained housing, their own housing facilities. That's a real need in Bartlesville, being able to move from the lighthouse to another home, another facility that's low income but also safe and not drug infested.
Places in town, we do have a drug problem, and authorities are doing what they can, but again, if you don't I'll leave probable cause and all that stuff out of it. They're just trying to do what they can where they can.
Yep.
But, you know, you're taking people from a bad place as far as in their life is concerned, without a job, without a home, frequently without any money at all, and putting them to a place where they are able to, almost unassisted, stand on their own.
That's the goal, to get them to be self-sufficient spiritually with the recovery program and also economically and financially with their job and their housing.
How do these numbers stack up? I'm sure the Lighthouse has kept track over the years. The number just for this past year, is that more than you've helped, or is it on par with the last several years?
I think this year, last year was about, we averaged 41 people per day there at the Lighthouse. And it cost us $1,062 per day to operate the lighthouse. Every day we need $1,062 just to keep it going. That's for food, housing, transportation, counseling services, classes, insurance, all the things that we offer. And that averaged out last year with 41 average residents for the year 2017 to $26 per day to feed three meals and all these things. So it's pretty economical use of our resources, but it does cost a lot. And we're a much higher capacity right now. We have about 56 adults and 10 children there at the Lighthouse. So we are at 66, which is going to be a lot more this year than last year, I believe.
Well, thanks so much to the community organizations, particularly the churches that come in on a monthly basis and help out with meals or Bible studies or a lot of the other things that they do at the Lighthouse.
Right.
The people stories, I think, are a lot of what goes on at the Lighthouse, because you got families, but you treat those families as a group of, I don't know, five individuals. How many people in that, you know their name, and you know who they are and learn why they're there.
It's very close-knit association. Once people get there, you come in first, you're very frustrated, you're embarrassed, you're hurt, you're broken, but as they begin to decompress and get accustomed to the facility, they realize this is a good, safe place to be. Mm-hmm. And the numbers are important because that's what we show of how many we've served, but the real story is the individual lives being transformed. And I've seen so many lives, and we have someone here with us today that's going to share how her life was transformed through the Lighthouse.
I'm going to go ahead and take my commercial break a little bit early so we can spend a lot more of the rest of the program talking with her. Okay. I'll let you make the introduction when we continue in just a moment. Community Connection brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Just a second, as we continue on a Community Connection on 1400 K1, again, welcoming Earl Hayda in from the Lighthouse, talking about the impact to the community, the impact that your donations, your dollars, your time, your efforts have made, not only at the Lighthouse, but in the lives of the people that are there. And Earl, you were about ready to make an introduction for me.
Yeah, we have Gina. we have Gina with us, who has been at the Lighthouse for a year now, and she's going to share how what her life was like when she came there, and how God's helped her, and what she's doing right now. So, well, Gina, if you want to share what God's doing in your life.
Gina, first of all, before you even do that, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're welcome. I wound up at the Lighthouse, let's see, I was on drugs, had been on drugs for a little while, and then I was in some trouble with the law in Pryor, Oklahoma, and I wound up at the Lighthouse, which was the best thing ever that God did for me, was put me at the Lighthouse.
And so if somebody starts talking about, and I'm using the words that Earl talked about over the this commercial break, being in the Lighthouse is kind of like being in jail.
It's nothing like being in jail. Nothing. And I am appalled that if anybody says that, because it's nothing. It's, we are a family there, truly a family. And truly each and every one of those staff members there have been above and beyond just for me. And I'm not the only one that they do it for. Anybody that wants to get help and get the things that they need, the Lighthouse is the place to do it.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to ask something of you either.
Right? No, that's right.
And I'm sure that your first few days, your first week there, like any other new place, was a lot to get used to.
I was scared. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. I was very, very scared because I didn't know what was going to happen. But after, I'd say, two chapels, I realized that I was in the right place. And the chapels are very, very, one of the most important things there. We have classes that we take, substance abuse, life skill classes, getting to know God class, and those classes are important, but the chapels are very, very important. Mr. Hayda is right. They are very important. They're instrumental, or however you say that, to a person, because after I had been at the Lighthouse for a month, I had to go to court, and I didn't have a lawyer, so they locked me up. And I realized when I was in jail that transformation really took. Everything that I had heard in almost every one of those chapels stuck in my head.
And I'm sure you were hearing that replay in your mind.
Oh, over and over and over.
It's that little tape recorder we got in our mind, you can hear the sound of whoever was saying it.
Right. Exactly.
Certainly a source of encouragement for you when you were sitting in the jail cell or sitting in the courtroom.
It was, I learned to have faith there. That's where I gained most of my faith, was when I was in jail. I went to court not knowing if I had a lawyer, got a lawyer, got out the same day. But God laid it on my heart to go back to the Lighthouse. He told me, if they say you can't go back, you don't take no deal.
And I'm sure it could have been very easy to you for you to say, I'm done and walk away.
I didn't want to be done. I wanted to go back to the Lighthouse.
You've made some friends then.
Yes, I made a lot of friends. I made family. I got family there. And I just want to thank all the donors that donate. And I want to thank each and every one of the staff members there, because I tell you, they are truly, truly amazing. Way they treat us and treat us good. They take us, like when we get jobs, they take us back and forth to work. I had someone getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning driving me to work, and that's truly amazing. Nobody wants to get up that early.
I totally understand that part.
Truly amazing. And they helped me get my ID, helped me get birth certificates, everything I needed. All my needs are being met. They taught me how to save money, everything.
In addition to what we've done there, how has your relationship with your biological family changed since you were there?
My family members were very, very mad at me. Didn't want nothing to do with me. They said nothing, and it is remarkable now. I am in contact with them 2 or 3 times a week. As a matter of fact, the other day I apologize to them for what I have put them through. And it had been weighing heavy on my heart, but God gave me the courage to apologize, and it felt good. And I honestly believe God uses the Lighthouse as tools in people's lives.
I've heard that story before, but it's nice to, it's always nice to hear again, because everybody has their own reason for saying it.
There's a couple other girls there that are doing very, very good. Alicia Buss, Miss Claudia. And Alicia's been there almost as long as I have been. She's doing really good, too. I mean, so I'm not the only one. There is a couple of us that, I mean, the Lighthouse really is there to change lives.
And
if you want to be changed, you can be changed. Go there.
Sounds like you're about the best spokesman I think I've heard for a while. Errol, this is something, and I realize every person that passes through the Lighthouse doors in some way is a success story, but sounds like she's got good cause to celebrate here.
Jean has been remarkable, her change. She's now been employed about 7 months now, got a raise since she's been working there, and just does her, she's one of their outstanding employees at that facility where she works right now.
Yeah. And at some point in time, you know, because I know the mission, they're going to say you're ready to move out on your own.
When I have enough money saved, and I don't want to leave too soon, but I can't stay forever.
Right?
And I know that. And
yeah.
When I leave, I want to be ready to leave when I leave. I want to have everything that I, all my ducks in a row, a good, strong Christian family to where I'm not, if something goes to happening, I'm not going to fail. I have a year of sobriety also.
Tremendous. But I think I'm not putting words in Errol's mouth that if you missed your friends at chapel, they'd always welcome you back.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's important. That's certain, as you've said, that's an important part
that
of what goes
on.
That
is the most important was the chapels.
Do you help each other out? I'm sure you've met a lot of people that's now in their first week. And I think I know what Errol and the staff of the chapel do. I think it's you, the other residents, that make that trip easier for them.
Yes, I tell. Like a girl was there yesterday, and I went up because she looked sad, gave her a hug, and told her she was in a good place. It's a loving place. Everybody cares about everybody. That it was going to be okay. Just take a day or two to decompress. And I think she's going to do fine.
That's a big sign of encouragement, because
right.
You are encouragers to each other.
Right. Yes, we are.
Some of the best encouragement comes from somebody that knows how it feels like to come there, not knowing anybody, not knowing what to expect. And so this is a very important part of the atmosphere, the culture we have there of helping and not looking down at somebody because of what they did to get there, but trying to help them get to a better place in their life.
Yeah, and I think that's when you get people who have been in that situation not all that long ago, not that you're not 100% sincere, because you are, but I think they take that message better from somebody like her.
The having walked in their shoes gives a lot of credibility to what they say, because they're describing their initial feelings to that new person, and they're matching up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say, in their mind, they realize, here's somebody that knows what I'm going through, and here's somebody that's doing well now, because they made some good choices. So it's a very strong encouragement. That's what's really helped strengthen the Lighthouse, is the culture we have there now of being helpful and wanting to see people improve and get victory in their life.
Yeah. You've mentioned already, Gina, as far as the importance of chapel and the importance of the friendships that you've made there. I'm just asking for more. What else is part of the whole story for you?
The whole story is I've got my life together now, and I got God. That's the whole story. That's the big thing. I got God in my life now, and He's number one. And I learned that from the Lighthouse.
Thank you very much. That says a lot right there. Yeah,
and
really,
can I say one other thing?
Please
I want to tell you what. None of the staff members have ever made me feel like I was beneath them or anything else. They've always been helpful, had an opening, listening ear, everything.
Somebody that it doesn't matter what it was, you could feel like you could open up and share it.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. No matter what it is.
Yeah, and just a feeling, if somebody else has told me, a feeling of instant friendship, like you've known them
right.
all your life.
Right, I do feel like I've known them a whole lifetime there.
And I, you know, that's the atmosphere of trust, of friendship, that I think I've heard from everybody that I've talked
right.
to.
Right, it's a loving environment.
Well,
I feel like I'm living in God's house there.
Mm. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Errol, I just, this is the story that I hear nearly every time I talk to somebody from the Lighthouse, that whether they've been there for 6 weeks or about a year, the time frame doesn't so much matter as the attitude of acceptance, the attitude of friendship.
I had a phone call from a man in Iowa last week who used to live at the Lighthouse, and he was a very difficult resident to work with. We tried to get him to get a job, but he really wasn't employable, couldn't present himself well, had a lot of anger issues, and he was difficult to work with. And finally I had to dismiss him because of an incident of outrage in the men's dorm when he threw some things around. And he called me last week and just thanked me for the Lighthouse, how much it helped him. He said he's now in a retirement center, he's getting ready to have cataract surgery, taking care of his eyes, he's going blind. And he just appreciated the chapel service. He said, there was a lot of people in chapel, but I felt like you're preaching to me every time. And that really blessed me, because he was not someone that left on good terms, but called all the way from Iowa to thank us for what God had done through the ministry of the Lighthouse. So the way they leave isn't always an indication of what's going to go on in their life later on. So it's great to hear stories like that, because it keeps us encouraged, because we wonder, and we pray, the staff prays for people after they left. It's incredible to hear their prayers for somebody that made a wrong choice, had to be dismissed, or on their own took off. And so that was very encouraging to get that phone call all the way from Iowa.
And I'm getting a lot of nods over here from her. I was just in my peripheral vision, even though I'm looking at you. I hear in your face a lot of agreement.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I've heard each and every one of these staff members at the Lighthouse pray for individuals that has not, maybe not left in such a good way or just left on their own. They'd pray for them. I could feel them praying for me when I was in jail and I was in another town.
Wow, that's tremendous. Gina, thank you so much for sharing your life story with
You're
us.
You're welcome.
And best wishes for the rest of the trip.
It's going to be good. I'm excited.
Errol, thank you. Errol, congratulations on the commitment to integrity and the recognition for financial management. The doors are always open.
Right. Yeah. Love to have people come by. A lot of people have never been to the Lighthouse. Come by for a tour and see our facility. I think you'll be surprised and pleased at how well kept it is and how neat it is and how we're using the resources you provided for us.
Thank you very much. That's a Community Connection. News on the way next from the UNN.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey. A man who Anadarko police say was stabbed with a